everybody. Welcome to Coffee Time with Byron. I am your host, Byron. This is episode number 102. We are available on all available podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google, now Amazon Music. All you have to say is Alexa. If you have Alexa, play Coffee Time. It'll play it. Yeah. On all available podcasting apps, and even live on YouTube right now. So if you got the link and you think and you got it, or you follow me, whatever, just tune in. It's right there live right now on YouTube. But alongside me is former UFC fighter and amongst other organizations, Daniel Roberts. Thank you for joining me tonight. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
So
thanks for having me on.
I want to start off by first asking you, I see you got the nickname Ninja. Did you come up with that nickname? Did somebody else come up with that? How did that name come about?
I kind of always been a ninja, so I just kind of kept it. Yeah, I was always flipping around my mom's house, breaking furniture and stuff, so it kind of stuck with me.
So I see you were in the welterweight division. You were a part of many other organizations. Is there one fight that you did not have that you would have wanted to take in the welterweight? Because you, in your time of fighting, which I see you fought from 07 to 15 in all different organizations, including UFC, you had a lot of good welterweights. Is there one that you didn't have that you would have wanted to have?
Well, at the time, when I was just local, I was 5-0, and I wanted to fight Tyrone Woodley, but he decided not to fight me, so I would have liked that fight. Yeah, I think we were both 5-0 at the time.
So it would have been a catchweight fight?
No, he was welterweight too.
Oh, he was welterweight before he went up?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that was...
Yeah. He's still at welterweight.
So you were part of the Cesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gym. Now tell us about that training under the Gracies.
It was awesome. I mean, I trained so many different places. I started, you know, with Mikey Burnett. He was like the originator.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I trained a lot of good gyms here in Tulsa. With Ghost Dog Boxing with Pepe, with Gerald Harris here, the Factory, and then I end up. I'm good friends with my buddy Johnny Carson, and he was living at the time in California, and he'd been telling me to come out there, so I just came out there and started training with them, and it's probably the best decision I made because I got so much better since I was when I started to move out there. So yeah.
What's it like learning under the Gracies? Because they're the originators of the UFC. That's how UFC got started.
It was awesome. I mean, yeah, Cesar Gracie, you know, Jake Shields and Gilbert Melendez. He actually was just out here the other day. My buddy Johnny Carson, he just opened up a gym, and Gilbert and his wife came out. So yeah, it's awesome, man. I mean, it's tough. You know, it's one of those things where like, you're not going to get good unless you're around good people. You know, when I first went out there, it was really rough, but I started to, hang. So, that was a good decision.
So, yeah, tell us about this brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Jake Shields. Was he the one that ultimately helped you get to the brown belt?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mainly trained under Jake, so I think Cesar, he actually gave me my purple, and Jake gave me my brown and black, yeah.
So tell us, since you were in these four different organizations, you were obviously in UFC, Pancrase, Titan FC, and Legacy FC. Tell us about each organization, what you thought about them, and which one ultimately was better to you.
Well, UFC was probably the best, obviously. I mean, they paid the most. pancration. That was my last fight. That was a bad experience. Mm-hmm. But Titan FC, that was definitely good. All the organization is good, but like obviously the UFC is the best because they take care of their fighters and they pay the best. Although you know, they do pay more than any other organization, but based on their total, you know, income, I still think the fighters should be paid more. You know, I think the UFC, they pay their fighters about, I think it was like 18% of the total revenue. But mm-hmm. NFL and NBA, they get 50%. So still like, they still need to get paid a lot more. So
you're early on in your, like you said, you went 9-0 before being signed by the UFC. Ultimately, if you didn't get noticed, what do you think would have happened to you ultimately in your career if you wouldn't have gotten noticed after that 9-0 start?
Well, it's hard not to get noticed when you're 9-0, like most finishes, but. So yeah, I don't know what would have happened. I guess I probably would have just stopped eventually. And yeah, but nowadays it's cool because like you can almost make a career just doing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a lot of good organizations and they pay really good. And with grappling, you can do that a lot more often than you fight. I mean, you can probably have a grappling match a couple times a month. To pay like, you know, $3,000 or $4,000. I mean, well now, like the price just keeps going up. I mean, nowadays they're getting paid pretty good grapplers, top grapplers. So yeah.
So you signed a 4-fight deal with them in March of 2010. You make your debut on short notice, filling in for Anthony Johnson. To fight John Howard at UFC Live, Vera versus Jones. Tell us about that fight, and I mean, what's it like having to fight short notice?
I mean, it could be good and bad, obviously, because I mean, you get a good opportunity to be in a big show, but then again, are you really well prepared? But I thought I was well prepared. I just kind of got caught. You know, I lost the fight. I thought I put on a good performance though, and you know, I just got caught. And you know, and this may sound weird, but if I was to choose the way to lose, it would be by knockout because it's just the simple fact that anyone can get knocked out.
Right. You know? Yeah. Literally, quick second, you could get knocked out. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Submission's kind of the same way when you think about it. Depends on how well you play.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's kind of hard to just catch a submission and it's over. But I guess most of the time you have to be rocked or something and out of it. I mean, against a top grappler anyway. But yeah,
did you at least?
It'll be hard to just catch someone in a submission, but it can happen. But the chances are very unlikely. But with a punch or a knockout, you can just get caught and then he might just shut out. So.
Did you at least get a chance to scout your opponent, even though it was short notice? Did you get to scout him?
Yeah, I checked him out. I watched a video on him. I mean, he had a lot of power, which I found out. I mean, I thought I was a better fighter, but that's kind of like, you know, that's what makes fighting so interesting, you know, just because you're better at a lot of aspects, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win because all it takes is one shot. So, yeah.
Now, your next fight, in a way, it kind of, even though the reverse happened to you, how your first fight you ended up filling in for somebody, somebody else ended up filling in for somebody else to fight you. Now, tell us about that. Were you more prepared for the fight that you were supposed to have compared to the guy that actually stepped in that guy's shoes at the next, let's see what pay-per-view was, UFC 116, where you fought four sets.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely ready. He was tough, though. He had you know, unusually large chin. Like, I used to call him like the American Dad. But like, I had his back and I could not choke him because his chin was so big. But yeah, that was, it's a different experience though. But I thought I definitely dominated, and I definitely was looking for the finish though. But it was kind of, I had to kind of look at my conditioning because, you know, prior to the UFC, I was finishing everyone, and I usually didn't go to distance. And, you know, I thought I was in good shape, but when all those three rounds, I realized I wasn't as in good shape as I should be, so.
Now, before we get back into your fights, I got to ask you, as a fighter, what was your mindset going into the octagon? Was it to go, was it to get a knockout, submission, or go to distance? What was your psyche going into the octagon to do?
I was always looking to finish. It didn't matter. Obviously, I'm pretty good at submissions and jiu-jitsu, so, but I mean, if I can knock someone out, I mean, I've had TKO wins, mostly submission wins. I'm just looking to end it, you know, because I usually try to, like, you know, obviously I want to be in the best shape as possible in a fight, but I want to leave it all out there. So, like, I want to be able to barely stand when I'm done fighting, you know, like when I'm done the three rounds or whatever, like, I want to give it all. And that's what I think I did, you know, pretty much all my fights, you know. But fighting's not all, obviously, it's not all physical, because it is a lot mental, because I've definitely, and nothing to take away from any of my opponents, but I've lost some fights because I wasn't mentally prepared. So, yeah, that's something that's like, you know, the older I get, I realize how important it is to be mentally prepared to fight someone. And if you're not, then even if you're better than your opponent, like, it doesn't matter. If he's mentally prepared and you're not, you know, he'll probably have an advantage. So
now your next fight after you fight Forrest Pettz, you fight against another one of my guys that I had on the podcast, Mike Guyman, on October 23rd, 2010, at UFC 121. Now, tell us about that fight, because he kind of described it to me how it happened, and he was not.
I didn't even know he was on here.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't expecting a good fight between you guys, but it happened. Tell us about that fight.
Yeah, well, that was probably one of the best days of my life, because I didn't take a single punch, and it was a short fight, which is always good, and when you win, that's even better. So, yeah, I just had the, you know, the aggression, and every little advantage I would capitalize on, because I think I caught him with a leg kick, and then I just kind of rushed him, and he actually clinched me, and that's just, you know, that's what I want. So, and then I went right away to, I thought about going for a guillotine, but I didn't want to be on bottom, so then I switched to Anaconda. I think we're kind of close to the gate, so I kind of made a little room, but I kept that lock, and that's a very tight choke. Once you got that, it's pretty much done.
Yeah, he told me.
And the cool thing about...
Go ahead. Go ahead, finish that.
A cool thing about the Anaconda is, a lot of times it's hard to rear neck or choke somebody with the UFC gloves because they're a lot bigger. And plus, people will be cheating. They'll grab the gloves, and it's really hard to finish the rear neck or choke. But with the Anaconda, you don't really use your hands. So it's just like this, and it's locked in tight. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, because he told me he was looking to take you down. He was looking to take you down instead of go toe to toe with you. That's what his strategy was. Obviously, that failed.
Really? He must not have did his research. I don't know why he would try to do that.
Yeah, because it won you Fight of the Night honors, and he remembers that. He remembers that too.
Yeah, I think the older I get, though, I kind of have more capacity, you know. But obviously, it's a fight, so, you know, somebody had to win. But, I mean, I know his family was on there. And I mean, I guess I've lost before. So I know what it feels like. But then again, obviously, I am happy that I won. But I have lost before, and I know what it feels like. Because you put a lot into fighting, and, you know, your family's all there, and everybody wants you to do good, and you don't do good. So, yeah, I didn't feel bad then. But I think now, like, I still compete in grappling, and, I don't know. I just kind of funny. Like, I had this guy in a heel hook, and I just kind of, hey, man, you should tap. You know, I actually told this guy before I cranked on his heel, but he kind of just looked, he was just kind of shocked. Like, what are you doing, man? But he did, and then I'm like, okay. And I just ripped his knee apart. So, I don't know.
So,
I guess I did it so long, so yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Before we get to your next fight, now I got to ask you, how close, I know you only had about 20-25 fights in your career, well, professionally that is, that I saw. That I saw record-wise. I don't know if that's true to my research.
Yeah, I don't even know how many.
How close were you to getting any sort of title shot in any organization you had? Were you at all close?
Well, this organization called Freestyle Cage Fight, it's a local event, a local promotion in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I could have had the title shot, but I think at the time I tried out for the Ultimate Fighter, so I didn't do it. So I was like next in line. I didn't do it. Yeah. But I realized one thing I did realize in the UFC, and, you know, a lot of guys won't admit to this, but obviously I did want to win, but I realized how hard it is to be the champ. And I kind of, like, not saying I would ever want to lose or anything like that, but just to be the champion, that's tough, and it takes a lot of work. Like, sometimes people think they want to do something until they realize how much time and energy it takes. So at the time, you know, I was having, like I said, that's a lot of mental issues and a lot of personal issues. So, mm-hmm. You know, I really, like, at the time, it was, you know, I didn't really necessarily want to do what it takes to be the champ in the UFC, because, you know, I had a daughter at the time. She was very young, and she wasn't living in the same state as me. So, you know, everybody that knows me knows I love my daughter more than anything. So that was a lot to process too. And actually, I know you're going to talk about my next fight, but yeah, that I was dealing with a lot with my next fight, but with Greg Soto, so UFC 125.
Yep, exactly. Yep, January 1st, 2011, at UFC 125. Tell us about that one. Yeah, with Greg Soto. Yep.
Well, I think it's 8 days, or maybe like maybe a couple of days before that. I realized I had a daughter, so that was kind of a lot of emotions to process when I had to fight. So, but thank God I won it and got through it. So yeah. But Greg Soto, he was really tough. He had me in like a guillotine, you know, but I defended pretty well. And I really think I should have got submission of the night that night too. But
yeah, I saw that, and that. I was going to ask you about that later on in the interview, but now that you said that, that had to be motivation. That had to be motivation to knock him out in the first round, because I see right here that you knocked him out in the first round.
Yeah. I thought I should have got it, but they gave it to Clay Guida. And I think he saw me backstage. He was like, he kind of had that look where, like, you know, he got the submission tonight, but he was like looking like, you really should have had it. You know, he was like, yeah, good job, man. But, you know, he was more popular than me at the time. But, yeah.
It is what it is, right? I mean, I know you wouldn't have wanted it, but, I mean, because I know
But honestly, My career in the UFC has it kind of just went so fast. Like, I wasn't even, you know, thinking of it like as a career. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I started fighting a couple years and I was in the UFC. You know, I wasn't like I was just trying to be in the UFC, but yeah. But nowadays, like, you have to realize, like, you know, you have to make smart decisions and good matchups. You know, obviously, a good record is you know, what the UFC is looking for. So all the up-and-coming fighters, you know, it's not necessarily scared. If it's a bad matchup, you probably shouldn't take it. You know, if you want to get to the UFC, you want to have a good record. So
yeah, I got to ask
having you. Tough fights. Yeah. Having tough fights early on is not a good idea. And, you know, when me and Tyron Woodley was going to fight, you know, he probably, I don't know if he turned it down, but maybe it was manager. And which now I see that's actually a good idea, because two tough guys and locally, like, that's not really going to benefit either one of you. So you might as well save that to, like, you're in the UFC or something. So
yeah, I got to ask you about it now that you brought up the scheduling before we get to your next fight. Yeah, who ultimately comes up with the fights? Is it the matchmakers? Is it you guys that want to fight? Is it you guys that
want to pick the fights? Well, I mean, nowadays, it seems like they're just calling people out, and they just kind of, what the people want, they're doing that more nowadays. But, yeah, usually, at the time, it was Joe Silva. So, yeah, he matchmakers the fights.
And now, you earlier back, you said you tried out for the Ultimate Fighter competition. Why do you think you didn't make it? Do you think there was just better fighters? What happened there?
I think I was just too good looking. They didn't want no one on there like me. You know, like, man, he should go somewhere model or something. But yeah, so I don't know. But I thought I should have got on. I thought it was pretty funny. But yeah, who knows? But,
where'd you have to go to try out for it?
Yeah, it was actually in Chicago at the time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But everything happens for a reason, though. It was still good. My buddy actually got on it, Gerald Harris, which mm-hmm. was cool. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I got
UFC 120 or 116. We both fought on the same card and we both won. Yeah, so yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's funny now you say teammates. That. It's funny you say that too, because I also got a hold of him on Twitter too. I'm going to have him on soon too.
Oh, nice! That's yeah. awesome. So yeah, he's a good guy. He's wrestling. He's a wrestling coach now.
I'll tell him that I had you really on. Cool. And see what he says. But your next fight, you face fellow up-and-comer Claude Patrick on April 30th in 2011 at 129. Tell us about that fight and what went on.
Here's
in that
where
fight.
The bad decisions come on, like, right after the other in all these fights. And that's why, like, mentally and everything is so important. You know, so at the time, you know, I was really confident in the fight, you know, and, like, literally, like, the day before I started getting sick, mm-hmm. you know, and you can actually pull up some of my interviews that I did close to that time. And you could hear it in my voice. But, you know, it was in Canada. I flew to Canada and then my family came in. I was like, man, I can't pull out on a fight. But now I'm thinking, like, you know, it's always, you know, in hindsight, what you would have done. But, you know, I probably should not have fought. But based on my performance, I thought I did really good based on how I felt, because I had bronchitis, and if you can imagine, fighting with bronchitis is terrible. Like, I just had no
sounds
energy
terrible.
At all.
Sounds terrible.
But I was like, my mind was other places, because, like, we were fighting and then I think we clinched up and I looked down at his feet and, like, wow, you got some ugly feet. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm biting. So I stuck back in. It was crazy. So you should never, I don't like pulling out fights, but, you know, if you're really sick, you know, you shouldn't fight. But, you know, honestly, sometimes you don't know until you do it. Like, I didn't know I feel that good. Because, like, you know, you're not going real hard close to the fight. You're just kind of losing weight and just, you know, kind of doing little light stuff. But when I got in there and I really went out, I was like, oh, man, I'm sick. So I guess now, knowing that I was sick, I shouldn't have did it. But then again, I didn't know how I would have felt. But, yeah. But I probably should have not fought. You know, I just was thinking, like, man, my family came in away from Canada. I don't want to pull out. But, yeah, I probably should have.
Now, since you obviously were a fighter and you lived it, I got to ask you now, I know you've had some fights that went decision. Do you ultimately think there's crooked judges out there that...
No. Until you get to my last fight, yeah.
Yeah, do you think there's crooked judges?
Oh, definitely. That's the one reason why I actually stopped fighting, you know. I mean, obviously, I'm a holder now, but when I stopped fighting, that was the main decision. You know, I think it should be something else. And I don't know what, but anytime judges are involved, then it's, you know, it has the ability to have error, you know. But, yeah, it's definitely some crooked judges. My buddy Gerald Harris, he probably got cheated out of the worst robberies ever when he fought for, I think it was the Fight League or something.
Professional Fight League?
Professional Fight League, yeah. Yeah, I think he's some Brazilian guy, and he beat the crap out of him, and they gave it to him. Like, that was, but yeah, my last fight was kind of the same way. But, yeah, I don't know if you want to go in order, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, that's why I asked you the question of that, because that brings me now to the next point. Is with gambling and all that, and you know what's happened, especially in UFC.
Oh yeah.
Especially in UFC, everybody's gambling in that sport. You got who's who on who's who.
Yes.
That's why I asked you if you think there's definitely crooked judges, because you know the judges gotta have their money on somebody.
Yeah, there's crooked judges, and there's judges that just shouldn't be judges. It's like they have some guys that never fought a day in your life, and they literally don't know what they're doing, and yet they're judging. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Now, what about, do you think in your matches that you had in the UFC, do you think the fights stopped fairly when the submissions that you've had, the knockouts that you've had, do you think the fights ended fairly by the ref, like calling it?
Yeah. All my fights have been, yeah. But there's some the refs have a hard job. They do, because like if you stop it too late, then like you're a terrible ref. Stop it too early, you're a terrible ref. So yeah, they do have a tough job.
Yeah, that's
so.
Why I asked you, because you don't know about some fighters. I mean, some I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've actually witnessed it on TV, so I've seen it. And
some
you,
fighters.
And you, even you, obviously, you've seen it too, because you've been in the arenas. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some fighters can still go, but the ref's like in a tough decision. Has to be a tough decision.
Very tough.
So at least you thought yours was fairly efficient.
Yeah, the only ones that I think they only got knocked out, that was the only stoppage. That was justified because I was unconscious. So,
So you were supposed to have another UFC fight, but unfortunately injuries caused you to... You stepped in again. Sorry, another...
Yeah, another stupid decision.
Yeah, Richard
Antonio. And like I said, when I was...
Against Richard Antonio.
When I was in the UFC and fighting, I was just... It just all happened so fast. Like, it was literally less than 2 years, and I was fighting in the UFC. So I was on vacation, just eating whatever I want, and then I get a call from Joe Silva. Hey, what are you doing? You training? I'm lying, yeah.
Yeah, who'd you have to step in for?
I got to fight for. I don't know who I stepped in for, but I know I fought Rich Antonito. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you should have won
this fight? You said what?
Do you think you should have won that fight?
Well, no. I mean, I don't know. It was close, but I thought that I made a bad decision on taking it because I thought I was better than him, and because I trained with him before, but I was in shape when I was training. But when I got a call, I wasn't really training, and I was just eating a bunch of junk, and I wasn't really training. And it was a short notice fight, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll take it." And I should not have because I wasn't really in shape. But it sometimes can be a hard decision though on like short notice fights because you have to see they are a good promotion, but you know, they're like, hey, if you don't fight him, then I'm going to give you somebody really hard next time. So like, they kind of got a lot of power. So you don't really want to tell the UFC
Right.
But yeah, I probably should have.
Now tell us.
You always want to be prepared.
Now tell us about it. What made him win by you? I looked like unanimous decision. So
yeah, I just was I wasn't really in shape to fight. You know. So I kind of just looked at, I've trained with this guy, and I did really good against him, so yeah, I beat him, but yeah, I wasn't really conditioned, I wasn't prepared and conditioned to fight, so yeah. So I wasn't prepared, physically, you know, even though I was thinking I was ready, but yeah, you gotta put in a good training camp, and you have to be prepared to step in, you know. Can't be eating like subs and stuff. Like I was just eating all kinds of crazy stuff. And, yeah, that was not a good idea.
So your next fight, you were supposed to face TJ Waldenberger at Fight Night 25, but you pulled out due to injury, and was replaced by Mike Stump. Now, what happened with that? How'd you end up getting hurt?
Yeah, I pulled a muscle in my back. I was just sparring, and man, it was like someone stabbed me the night in the back. So, yeah, I couldn't even walk. Yeah, so I had to pull out. Yeah, I was going to try to tub it through, but it just kept bugging me. So I had to pull out. So yeah, that was unfortunate because I was looking forward towards that matchup because he was a good jiu-jitsu guy as well. So yeah, but I had to pull out.
How long did you have to recover to get back in training?
It was like a couple weeks. Yeah, and a little longer.
Well, I'm bad. Yeah, it wasn't two or three weeks. That means it wasn't too bad of an injury. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then
it was so close to the time, like it was like that week. So yeah, I was trying to see if I could go through it, but it was too bad. Pain was just too bad. So yeah.
So this ultimately ended up being your last UFC appearance. You face Charlie Brenneman on January 20th, 2012 on UFC on Fox, Gilland and Miller. Tell us about that fight and what happened in that fight.
Yeah, that actually was, it's kind of crazy because it seemed like if you watch that fight, like I was kind of out of it because I was dealing with a lot of personal issues. Like I wasn't able to see my daughter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was really rough. And I kind of wasn't really mentally there to fight. You know, and I would kind of like be out of it. And then like at the end of the round, I would just try something. And I almost came close, like seemed like almost at the end of the round, I almost catch him in something. But yeah, That was very, very close, man. That literally, the difference in that fight, like, literally could have been, like, split seconds, because, like, I almost had him in, like, almost had him in a Kimura, and almost had him in, like, a reverse triangle. So, yeah. But that's part of it, like, because it's kind of hard to pull out on a fight. I mean, I guess it's not hard, but even though you're physically okay and everything, but like I said, if you're not mentally there, then it could definitely be a problem. And I could tell I wasn't really mentally there. My mind was elsewhere. So, yeah.
Did you ultimately know, though, that was going to be your last fight? Because ultimately, I said later on, you were unfortunately released by the UFC.
You know, yeah, I kind of figured it, but. Yeah, but it was cool though. You know, I just kind of like I didn't think of it as my career. I just kind of just all happened so fast, and boom, I'm in the UFC. I'm fighting. And another thing about short notice fights, you know, you do get paid when you fight. So,
right.
So it's kind of hard for me to say, hey, I don't want to get paid. Like it's kind of crazy. So. So that's probably another reason why I took the fight. I didn't even think about that, yeah.
But unfortunately, do you think the UFC just gave up on you? I mean, you could have lasted longer with them.
Yeah, I know I could have. But like I said, all those guys are super tough. But those last three fights, like, I don't like using excuses for losing, but. Those are, I mean, if I had to excuse, it would be those, you know. I wasn't mentally there, and, you know, I was sick, and I was short notice fight. I was just, yeah. So, yeah, those are all losses, so I learned from it, though. But now I'm just trying to, like, you know, if younger fighters are up and coming and they see this, so I'm hoping they can learn. You know, if you're not mentally there, and, you know, you might want to just pull out. And obviously, if you're sick, you know, that seemed like that'd be
a smart thing to do. Yeah,
given. Yeah, given. I knew I was sick, but I don't know. I guess at the end of the day, you got to think about you. Because I was, you know, I'm real close with my family. And, you know, I know they spent a bunch of money to come out here to see me fight and all. But I was thinking, like, man, I can't pull out, you know, they came to see me. But if I would do that again, like, sorry, guys, like, I'm not fighting. So,
after you leave the UFC, you go to Freedom Fight MMA. You face, your first fight is against Nuri Shakur. I hope I'm saying it correct.
Yeah, I think that was
in 2012. Tell us about that fight, because you obviously won it. The rear naked choke submission. So tell us about that. How did that fight come about?
That was actually a catch weight fight. He was a lot bigger than me. But I had Nate. Nate's a great corner man. Yeah. So. Yeah, he was really tough. I had him in like, I think the first round I had him in like a deep Kimura, and he did not tap. I was really surprised. I'm like, okay, this dude's tough. So, I mean, I always like to go for chokes because, you know, if they don't tap, they'll pass out anyway. So I end up getting his back, and, you know, he finally had to tap. So, yeah.
And then you, after that one, though, you win another back-to-back fight against another former UFC fighter, Brian Foster. You win the same way. May 18, yeah. 2013. Tell us about that fight, because that was also, I mean, I know the last guy you fought wasn't a UFC, but this guy was a UFC veteran. I remember him. I remember some of his fights. He was a good fighter. Tell us about this fight with him.
Yeah, he had a lot of power, and I definitely didn't want to stand with him. So I just kind of took him down right away, and fight ended pretty quick. So, yeah, I think as soon as the bell rang, I just kind of went in and took him down and got his back, and he stood up, and I actually, he fought it for a while, but once I sunk it in, it was over. So yeah, that was a good fight because it was here locally, and it was at the Spirit Event Center, which is now my church, Transformation. So yeah, that's pretty cool that I fought at my church that I go to. So yeah, that's cool. And my dad and my mom got to come, and all my family. So yeah, that was really cool. So.
And then your next fight after him, you at War MMA 1, you face Justin Braisman on June 22nd, 2013 of that year. Also seemed to be looked like a short notice fight too, because that's within a month span. Tell us about that fight.
Yeah, I was in California under Nick Diaz promotion. But it was in a ring, which I hated. That was terrible. Man, I did not want to fight in the ring. But MMA for cage only. Like, if you ever fight in the ring, it's terrible. But he was a really tough guy. I ended up dropping him in the first round, which was pretty awesome. It's like, I never really, he recovered, but I never really knocked anyone out. But when I hit him, like, it's weird how you feel his whole body just drop. So yeah, that was pretty cool. And I jumped on him and I was punching, and then I locked up a choke, and I thought I had it anyway, and I just kept squeezing. And I'm always a finisher. I'm just looking to finish. But, you know, of course, back then I wasn't as technical as I am now. Now, if I'm ever grappling, you know, I'll try something for 5 seconds. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to let it go. But I just held it. I probably held it for a couple minutes. And if you ever grappled before, you know, holding something that long as hard as you can, you're going to be your arm's going to be dead. So yeah, I've definitely won the first round. The second round, my arms was dead. So yeah, I was probably lost that round. And I thought I won the third round, but they gave it to that guy. So I definitely won the third round. So yeah, that's you know, judging, it's tough, because like when you fight and you put all you're all into it and you get robbed, that's very, very hard, you know, to deal with.
So you were semi-retired after that, so you take a year hiatus and you face Brock Jardine at Titan FC 28. I don't know if he's any relation to former UFC fighter Keith Jardine, but tell us about that. But tell us about that fight.
He's a really cool guy, and I don't know, I guess when you're, some kind of, you know, he had a daughter as well, so, which was cool, you know, and I have a daughter, so, yeah, he's a nice guy, pretty tough guy, and, I think I finished him, yeah.
You did.
So, I mean, that was... I don't know if it was it a third round or something. He was pretty tough, though. But got the finish, and that was here in Oklahoma, too. So, yeah, that was cool. Anytime the fight's local, it's cool because, you know, mostly all my family can go. So, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've heard of this, but do you know of anything of the lawsuit that's going on against UFC right now?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I actually got some stuff in the mail from them. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So, yeah, I hope they win. Because I believe there's corruption in that, in your sport, unfortunately, with the top.
The thing about fighting is hard to, like, pay fighters more, because if you don't want to fight, like, say, hey, I don't want to fight, I want more money, I'll just find someone else. So So it's kind of like, you know, everybody can fight, but everybody doesn't know how to fight. So, yeah. So those top level guys.
How I first found out about that was, of course, the guy I told you about that you fought that I had on, Mike Guyman. He's one of the three fighters that started the whole lawsuit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And then I just recently had another one on too, Nate Corey, who he was another one too, a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I guess I was really really blessed because I think when I fought Mike Guyman, it was Brock Lesnar on the card, and he's a big pay-per-view draw.
Yeah.
So normally with the submission of the night bonus, you get like 50,000. But when the card was so big, I got 70,000. That's on top of my win bonus, and yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Now, in any of your fights, was there one opponent or any opponent that, let's just say, ended up being, let's just say, nowadays the fights are more of entertainment purposes, like the rivalries and all that. There's no legit hate, like, you know, Tito and Shamrock was and all them. When you were fighting, did you have any sort of that?
I would always, I'd make fun of people. Like, I don't know, I guess that's just my way to kind of, like, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, Claude Patrick, you know, he has a huge head, so I was kind of making fun of his head. So, I guess that's part of the fight. Whenever a contract signed, like, you gotta, like, I can't fight you physically yet, but, you know, I can rag on you. So, yeah. Patrick, he has a. I talked about this here. He had a huge head, though, boy. And
now
he has some ugly feet.
Now we talked texting wise, where you told me you are running a gym now. Do you currently?
I help run it. Yeah.
Do you have anybody that might make it? Or have been scouted so far by UFC?
We have a couple of tough guys. Yeah, this one guy named Samson. He's pretty tough. I think he has a lot of talent. So, yeah, I don't know if he's quite ready for UFC yet, but I think a couple of years, he definitely could be there. Yeah. So.
Now, is there any fight? I'm sure you still follow the sport, clearly, because you obviously are... I guess a coach / runner of a gym, so you still follow it. Is there a fight up and coming that you're most anxious to see?
With the UFC, I'm anxious to see Kamaru Usman and what's the other guy? I don't even know his name. He's one like 10 or something in a row. He fought Nate. What's the guy's name? I forgot the guy's name. But Kamaru and, well, he's got a fight coming up. I guess it's a really tough guy. Google it. But, yeah, that'd be a good, interesting fight. Find his name. You don't know what I'm talking about? You don't know who
I'm talking about? I don't know. I think I know who you're talking about. I just don't know the name. It's on the tip of my tongue as well.
Yeah. He's beaten a lot of people, but I guess he's not that exciting. It's like he's had like 10 fights and he's just now getting the title fight. So, yeah.
Now, obviously, you look at UFC today and of yesteryear with the cocky fighters of Koscheck, Ortiz, the Diaz brothers, McGregor, Florian. Do you think, even Lesnar, do you think those cocky fighters. Leon Edwards. Do you think those cocky fighters make the sport interesting or hurt the sport?
I mean, it's, well, I know with Nick and Nate, they just, that's just them, you know, and it's, I guess it sounds good, you know, but I mean, it is interesting, you know, with Kobe Covington, he's kind of like, he's all an act, but I guess he gets people to watch him, but, you know, the thing about him, I guess, he can fight a lot of people, like, they talk about him, and they talk about his antics and he's fake and all, but when he gets in that cage, he can fight. So I guess as long as he can fight, that's the main thing. So
now, I know you obviously retired in 2015, but after that, did you ever have the urge to have ever come back? Like, I know not now, I know not now, obviously, like we talked about, but after you had recently retired in 15, that, you know, when you retired in 15, did you have that feeling to come back?
I was liking the open scoring because I think a couple of fight cards had open scoring. So I would maybe, if they had open scoring, I would maybe come back. And for that, I was thinking about it. But if it wasn't no open scoring, I wasn't interested. Yeah. But I kind of see why they don't like open scoring, because, you know, if a guy can kind of coast or something if he's dominating, but then again, you can't really coast in a fight because, you know, you can get caught or something. But I think I came up with some good ideas, like, because if a guy's down two rounds, he's probably, I mean, I don't know, I guess it depends on how the fighter are. Because, you know, most of the time they still want to get him out of there. But then again, you don't want to get too risky because you already went in two rounds. So I kind of see why they don't want the open scoring. But I was thinking, like, just hard warnings. Like, so for a three-round fight, you get maybe two warnings of stalling and then you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. A five-round fight, maybe three warnings. So I don't know. That might change it or something. But, yeah.
Now, obviously, we talked about, like I said, Lesnar, the entertainers, Lesnar, who's a wrestler, Ronda Rousey went to WWE as well, those guys. Ultimately, do you think that even Shamrock, because Shamrock and Severn were the first to do it, convert over, do you think that hurts? Do you think that ultimately hurts them? Because They're going into something fake.
That money not fake though. I'd do it.
Well, yeah, the money's not obviously, but
yeah, I don't. I mean, honestly, I definitely would do it if I had an opportunity. So yeah, I don't think it hurts at all. Yeah, but wrestling is huge. Like, I don't follow it anymore, but obviously they have thousands of followers, and you know, a lot of wrestlers are like famous movie stars. I mean, look at The Rock. So yeah, that's a great, you know, great path. Brock, those other guy, John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena.
Actually, Drax. Yeah, he trains at Caesar Gracie, so yeah.
Now, Randy Couture has his own gym, Extreme Couture, and he's announcer at PFL, Professional Fight League, on ESPN. And he still looks like he's in tip-top shape to fight. Is there a possibility he could have that last fight or ever come back? Because he looks like he can still go.
Yeah, see, here's something that people don't realize. Like, I think I'm probably, you know, not to brag, but I think I'm one of the best grapplers still. Mm-hmm. In, you know, at my weight. But it's not necessarily, it doesn't always matter about how skilled you are and what you could do. It's your passion. You know, I know for a fact if I went to Abu Dhabi's, the trials, I probably could win it. But the passion isn't really there. So you just because you can do something, that doesn't mean you should. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't put as much in it as I could, but I'm still talented. I still can compete with the best of them. And that's just something kind of like, because obviously I have a lot more things going on. You know, I have a real estate business. You know, I train people. I teach private lessons. So when you're focused on so much other things, it's kind of hard to take away all that and just go back into, you know, one thing. So, but like now I grapple, but I mean, I still have grappling matches and I still compete, but I just do it for fun. Because it's not like, I mean, obviously I want to win, but I don't really care if I don't, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, it changed. So I think that's the aspect that people don't realize, like, just because you can do something, do you have a passion still? Or maybe you do have a passion, but is the passion as strong, you know, so, yeah.
Did you happen to watch the last UFC pay-per-view?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was a crazy ending in the main event. That was crazy. He's kind of bent back his knee. He was the other guy was losing too. I think too, but yeah, anything can happen in a fight. So.
Yeah. Do you see any two questions before I let you go? Do you see any part two or part three matchups coming up in the UFC anytime soon?
Part two? You talking about like fighting each other twice?
Twice or three times, like what there was back in the day.
Well, shoot, if I don't know if Kobe wins again, I mean, what is he gonna do? Like he's still right up there. So Kobe Covington, I don't know when he fights again. I mean, that's. Still think that's a good matchup. Who else? Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in John Jones. And, you know, I think he's supposed to be fighting too. So yeah.
You think he's coming back with all his problems he's had? Because wasn't he recently arrested?
Who knows? Yeah, that's the thing about John Jones. He's very talented, but. He kind of like, yeah, he's his worst own enemy, you know. But I know he's probably he definitely is the best fighter probably ever in the UFC. But hopefully he can, not mess up and actually fight. So
yeah. And I'll leave you off on this question, like I do with every other guest. Two part, obviously you're a coach. So what do you tell your kids that want to get to where you were at, ultimately, in the UFC? And the other part is, define your career in one word.
My career now, or my fighting career?
Fighting career.
Okay. One word would probably be passionate. I was definitely passionate in every fight I did. Although I didn't win all the fights, and you know, sometimes I wasn't prepared, but I still was passionate. Kind of fighters.
Yeah.
What should I do? Basically, if you want to do something, you gotta. It's like I said when I was fighting in the UFC, I realized what it took to be the champ, and I honestly didn't want to. I mean, which is fine. Like everybody, just because you have the ability and talent to be the champ, that doesn't necessarily mean you want to be the champ. I have no doubt that I have talent. I was talented enough to be the champ in UFC. I have no doubt, no talent. I would work hard, I would learn, but it's a lot of time, a lot of hours, and you gotta be obsessed. You gotta be passionate. And it's like, if you really wanna be good at something, you kinda gotta be crazy. You know, that's kinda how it is. And you got to be obsessed with it. Like, you want to get better at something, you got to do it constantly, constantly. And, you know, lucky for me, I love grappling, so I do it a lot. And which I'm really good at. So it's not like I don't like doing it. But, you know, with fighting, it's a lot of stuff. You know, you got to spar, you got to do this. So if you're willing to, if you're willing to dedicate yourself, like, that's the end goal. That's the end goal, is to be successful. So it's basically, you got to do stuff that everyone else isn't doing. So if you want to be good at something, you know, you got to train more, you got to, you know, watch videos, you got to learn more, you got to eat right, you know, you just got to do more than the other person, and success with it. Like, the recipe to success is simple, but it's hard to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can tell you what to do to, you know, in order to be successful, but are you willing to do it? That's the thing. You know, you gotta have some long nights, and you gotta really grind. You gotta do a lot of stuff you don't want to do. You gotta eat a lot of stuff you don't want to eat, and it's a lot into it. So some people, they think they want to do something, but like, do you really want to do it? Because it's not easy. Like, everybody that's successful, they'll tell you this. It's not gonna be easy. Like, I mean, obviously it is. It does come with benefits, you know. You know, money and fame, and, you know, which is good, but it's still a struggle. Like, even as a champ, like, every single one of the UFC champs, I guarantee you, they work a lot harder than the other fighters. And yeah, that's time, that's energy. You know, you're going to be tired. So it's a lot that goes into it. I mean, obviously, it's still fun, but it's not all fun being a champ, you know, because there's a lot that goes into it. So, yeah.
Now, obviously, you didn't have the career of, like, the guys that go into announcing, like, Florian, Cormier, Couture, but did you ever think about getting into something like that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't know. I guess I ain't really got the voice for it. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would do it. I guess I still compete, though. I mean, I'm coaching, too, so it's kind of hard for me to, like, announce when I'm usually cornering a fighter, or I'm actually competing myself, because like I said, I still compete in grappling, you know. And like I said, it's fun though, because I just kind of have fun, and you know. But it's cool though. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing some announcing, like, whenever. Probably would focus on grappling too. So yeah, I definitely know a lot of positions and a lot of information as far as jiu-jitsu. I can definitely
and this is for sure.
I don't know if anybody wants me to. Yeah, I mean,
I can see you doing it. I can see you doing it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So this is for sure the final question, and I'll let you go. So what do you find out, since you were a fighter, what do you think is more, what was more difficult for you? Having to cut weight, or the training, which was more difficult?
I didn't cut a lot of weight, so that wasn't hard at all. Probably the constant training. It's a lot. Like I said, I used to, when I was in the UFC, I'd train 4 or 5 hours a day. So, you know, that's a lot of training. Because, you know, you have to time. And, like, when you're not training, you know, what are you going to be doing? You know, you're going to be eating, or you're going to be sleeping and recovering. So
right. It's
not a lot of time you have, like, to just have fun, you know. So, yeah, that was – I mean, I think my favorite time is after a fight. Because, like, I take a week off and I just eat whatever I want. I just – still have a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, because you got time between fights. I mean,
yeah.
What, most fighters, what, have like what, 4 or 5 months, sometimes even a year, till they fight again?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, some fighters are very active. Some fighters fight every 3 months, some a couple times a year, so yeah.
Yeah, so it just depends, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do thank you for your time. It was fun. I appreciate it. If you know anybody else interested, please send them my way.
Okay, yeah.
So
I definitely will. Yeah.
And, yeah. since I told you about it, since you subscribed to the page, thank you, the YouTube page, go look back on my Mike Guyman, because I know I have him. Oh, okay,
yeah, I definitely will.
Give that a listen.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
But yeah, if you...
I'll do that.
And be on the lookout, too, because like I said, I'm in touch with your buddy, Pete Harris, too, okay. So I'm going to have him on eventually. Okay, cool. So...
Nice. Well, thank you for inviting me on. I really appreciate it. And to all my followers out there, I appreciate you guys and all my fans. I appreciate you. And I don't know, I'm a very modest guy, but like, I just at the other day, my buddy was opening up a gym, and like, mm-hmm. you know, my friend that he knew some of his kids, like, oh, yeah, this is UFC Fighter. But, you know, I realize that the UFC is a big deal, but I just honestly like it's no big deal to me. I think that the fact that I'm All American in wrestling after 2 years in high school, I think that was more of an accomplishment to fighting in the UFC. So
right,
yeah,
and some fighters say that too. I mean that's okay to say. I mean. It's just your take on things, you know? It's opinions, you know?
I would much rather... I mean, but obviously, people aren't going to say, hey, this guy's a really good day. You know, they're going to... I guess I was fighting in the UFC, so a lot of people see me and all, so that's what they say. But like I said, I'm passionate about, you know, being a good dad to my daughter.
Right, exactly.
That's what I really want to be remembered the most.
Right.
And, right. You know, so yeah.
Without a doubt, but I do. Again, it was awesome. I appreciate it. I'll definitely stay in touch with you. Now that we've connected, I've got you cool. pretty much everything. Now I think you accepted the friend request on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I got your number. Yeah, I'm going to definitely stay in touch. It was fun. But yeah,
cool, again, man. Thanks again. But I really appreciate you for having me on.
And I'll be in touch if you got in if you checked out that Guyman episode. I'll be in touch with
you. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I have plenty more fighter friends. I can send them your way and
definitely. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you again. It was fun. Right. You have a good night, all right? Stay training.
All right, you too.
Stay training.
All right. All right.
Have a good night. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, well, this concludes episode number 102.
All right.
And hope you all have a good night. Stay safe out there. Don't do anything stupid. And follow us on YouTube's at Coffee Time with Byron and on all available podcasting apps, Google, Spotify, same thing. I don't know who I'm going to have on for the next episode. We'll see. But until then, this episode was fun with former UFC fighter Daniel Roberts. Going to stay in touch with him. Till then, y'all have a good night.